The paradox of self. The paradox of self. Who are you? What is your true self, your true nature? We all show up differently in different circles. It really is you in all those situations. However, there are certain aspects of you that are withheld, that are tempered, that are measured depending on the circumstances. And we all know that there are situations where we can be civil externally. However, inside there's a burning of anxiety or even anger. Despite the external civility, there are internal turmoils and battles going on. But what's real? Who are we really in all those situations? Well, think about the fact that we all live with the basic requirements to meet our basic needs. Food, clothing, and shelter are essential. And it's also easy to see how the range of basic needs along these lines can go to the very expensive quite quickly. There's basic needs at an economic level, and basic needs can be met at a very expensive level. And it's no stretch then to see how these things can easily become status symbols. And for many of us, the level of which we engage in basic needs defines our status in life. For many, it defines who they are. Are those things in your life a reflection of you? Are you defined by your status, your home, your personal possessions, or perhaps your professional position? These trappings, yes, these trappings define many of us. These trappings also hold many of us hostage. These things define life for many and also provide depression for others. Where are you and who are you in this matter? Where are you along this continuum? That's a very important issue, and we will examine that issue. In the 8th chapter of Mark, a paradox is presented that seems to defy logic. It reads, "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for my sake and for the gospel will save it." Mark chapter 8, verse 35. How can losing something save it? There's something about that that just doesn't make sense. This contradictory message holds the key to unlocking a deeper truth about life, about ourselves, and about our connection to the divine. We live in a world obsessed with self-preservation, with accumulating possessions, and carving out space for our own comfort. Yet, Jesus warns us that this very focus on self, this clinging to our egos, leads to a life ultimately lost. Imagine, if you will, a flower. Its petals are tightly clenched around its bud, refusing to bloom. It may be safe, but it will never experience the beauty and purpose of its existence. unless it blooms, it will never really fully be. Similarly, when we hold on to our egos, we remain closed buds, unable to bloom, unable to blossom into the fullness of who we truly are. There's an insightful acronym that reminds us that this whole concept is real. The acronym is EGO, easing God out. The more our personal agendas dictate our lives, the less space we have to leave for that divine presence in us to expand, to grow. Now, this is not a call for self-abandonment or self-neglect. Rather, it's a call to surrender, to lose our limited self-image, to discover our true selves, aligned with the spark of the divine within. How do we get into that journey? How do we align with that divine presence? There are three takeaways. Consider moving from self-serving to self-giving. Jesus, in his time, challenged the prevailing mindset, which is actually no different than it was today. Back then, Jesus was confronted with folks saying to him, "Well, what's in it for me?" Oh, that so applies to today. He asks us to shift our focus from self-preservation to service and sacrifice. This doesn't mean neglecting our needs or becoming doormats. It's about recognizing that true fulfillment comes not from accumulation, but from contribution, from using our gifts and talents to uplift others. And in turn, that makes the world a better place. Second takeaway is moving from self-centered to God-centered. To lose our lives for the gospel is to move from a self-centered approach to a God-centered existence. It's about aligning our desires and actions with the values of love, compassion, and justice. All those things that Jesus embodied, that Jesus reflected. This means letting go of our pride, our prejudice, our judgments, and embracing the bigger picture, the divine plan that unfolds when we surrender our egos. And finally, I offer this. Moving from a limited mindset to a limitless mindset. When we lose our limited self-image, we tap into a vastness that's within each and every one of us. We connect with the divine essence that animates all creation. This connection allows us to experience life in its fullness with a depth of joy, a depth of purpose, a meaning that transcends our individual desire. It's like stepping out from a dimly lit room into a warm, bright sunshine where everything comes alive with vibrant color and possibility. It's moving into a space of enthusiasm and excitement and just knowing that we are in the midst of that which is greater than us. The process of losing our lives might seem daunting. But we're not alone. There are others along this path with us, and God knows that Christ's presence is with us. This was the example set by Jesus. And he demonstrated and illustrated what it looked like to be selfless and to sacrifice. We can live our lives following that example. Our lives become transformed, knowing that the true reward lies not in the earthly possessions or in the accolades, but in discovering divine potential within ourselves, in contributing to something bigger than us. So, embrace this paradox. Dare to lose your ego, your limited self-image, and step into the boundless possibilities that await. Lose yourself to find true life, a life that resonates with the divine spark within, a life that leaves a positive mark on the world, a life that truly fulfills your divine assignment. Because that's why you are here on earth. God bless.